Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks Podcast, the show that brings you tidbits from all aspects of the soccer world. Sometimes serious, sometimes zany, always opinionated. Now, here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
This is the Two Daft Yanks Podcast. Greetings to you wherever you may be. I am your host, Chad Smith, and I'm joined by my co-host, from the brand new executive Polar Studios, Corey Chatelain. Corey!
Oh, whoa, sorry. I was playing fullback for Arsenal and I got caught ball watching 50 yards upfield. Sorry.
Apology accepted.
Yeah. Oof, man, now I've got to run back. Hold on. Okay, I'm ready.
All right, welcome to the show, folks. Let's get started. Ball watching, huh?
Ball watching 50 yards upfield, yup.
Nice.
That's, yeah, I mean, that kind of, there's still a chance I could, might come out of retirement, you know?
Well, I thought you... Oh, no, that was a podcasting retirement you announced.
Yes, which, of course, you know, I didn't, you know... Being French, I reneged on the deal, so... You know, because we're sneaky.
I gotcha. So, welcome to the show, folks. This is what is in store for you today. We will talk some MLS playoffs like we did last week.
Yeah!
We're going to talk drop points.
Again.
Yes, and then we're going to ask... the question, and we're going to do something in between, but we're going to ask the question. The main question is the Premier League in decline? ...
Ooh.
Yes. So put on your hard hat, your hard thinking cap for that. Then we're going to talk about the breaking news tonight of David Moyes. He's got a new job. If you haven't heard, stay tuned and find out where he will be the new gaffer at. And then we will talk about the international break at the close of the show. So I know we already told him the applause once, but let's prod the studio audience with the electric prods that are not... They're USDA, I think. They're cow prods. So let's prod them and let's go. Damn, that was loud.
Well, yeah, there's like, we can fit more people into this Polar Studio now. We can fit like 9 as opposed to 3.
Well, that's true. Yes, Corey is in a new plush studio. It is very nice.
Yes. Free HD, people, man. I'm living high on the hog now.
All right, so let's get into the segment that is sweeping the nation with the Space Gong. Introducing this week's winners in the MLS playoffs.
Yeah, see, that sounded spacey again to me.
Yep, so take it away, Corey.
Oh, I thought you were going to take it. Okay, well, winners this week, not the owners this time. The winners this week is the sponsor, Nike, after Landon Donovan's hat trick, and now they're able to sell all sorts of commemorative memorabilia still since Landon Donovan's career is extended for another week. Everybody's excited.
Yes, Nike is as well because of the big. Rake it in, Nike.
Yeah.
So, yes, so there is your MLS playoff report, as only us, the Two Daft Yanks, can provide.
Yeah, hashtag Landon forever.
You can't spell legend without something.
Yeah, it's just, you know, retirement. Keeps rolling on.
Yep. All right. MLS playoff segment over. Thank God. Ooh, a double gong.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have hit it one more time just for in honor of his hat trick, just to be fair. Whoa. No. What is it doing? It went double again. He didn't score 4, damn it.
Well, it's going double because I actually watched 2 MLS playoff games this weekend.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
True story.
Yeah. No, now we're on the air. We're talking about this. Now, to be fair, as an Arsenal supporter, you did watch the Red Bulls match because of Henry.
Well, so that's still MLS.
That's acceptable.
Still MLS. Yeah,
but that's acceptable. But they were talking about Henry. Is he planning on retiring too? Is that the rumor? Because they made it sound like it during the telecast.
He's been fairly enigmatic about it, but depending on who you read, he's pretty much said so between the lines. Maybe not. Nobody knows. Like I said, it's been fairly enigmatic, but the few quotes I've seen, knowing him from the past, the way he speaks, I think if it's not retiring per se, it's going to be his last season in MLS, I believe.
All right. So Andre is about to say au revoir.
Au revoir, MLS.
Yeah. Okay, now let's get in. We're done with that. Sorry. We hit the gong. It's over. We dragged it past the gong, which is, I do believe, a crime.
Well, you know, it's like the land in retirement. It just keeps rolling on.
It does. It keeps rolling. Like Johnny Cash, the big old river, right? It keeps on a rolling.
Well, yeah, and Aerosmith, the train kept a rolling all night long.
All right, now let's talk about the Premier League. This is what we talk about here the most, and that's why people tune in, believe it or not. And so let's talk about what I'm going to call the drop points weekend, where pretty much anybody who's anybody drop points except for one club out of West London, and that would be the Blues of Chelsea.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, Man U won too, didn't they?
Yes, they did, but I don't take them serious.
Yeah, okay. Serious, well, right? It's true. We're not going to talk about mid-table sides.
You cut out there. They played Crystal Palace, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A resurgent Crystal Palace. I don't know about resurgent, but anyway.
Well, yeah.
So
they would have to get in there first. So
yeah. So let's just give me your thoughts about the weekend and where things stand.
Whew. My thoughts about the weekend are: I'm getting sick of blowing leads. And Chelsea's going to walk the title because pretty much everybody else is pants. Including Man City.
Well, except Southampton, they had another win, of course.
Yeah, just at some point, I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but at some point, you know, the results are going to go against them, or they're going to pick up an injury or two that's going to, you know, see them drop some points, you know, to go with the theme. But like I said, I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, if Chelsea doesn't walk this title with the talent and the depth they have, like I said, I'll be thoroughly shocked. So, yeah, my summary of the weekend is Chelsea is the only real consistent team in the league apart from Southampton at the moment. Everybody else is pretty much pants.
There we go. Now I'm looking at the table, and I don't know why this hasn't jumped out at me before, but Southampton is the only side who's only allowed single-digit goals. They have scored 23 in 11 games and only given up five games. They've given up five goals in 11 games. And the next closest side to them would be Chelsea at 11 goals and Swansea at 11 goals allowed. So that's pretty impressive. I've never seen that. Five goals in 11 matches.
Well, that's what I was saying last week, that I think one of the things I do like about Southampton at the 10-game mark, which, as we were saying last week, we can start making some fairly decent assumptions about the teams. But, you know, as I was saying, that's what I like about them, is that not only are they playing well, but they're not giving up a lot of goals. And usually those sides that don't give up goals, when you don't grab 3 points, usually you're still grabbing the one. So, you know, if they can nick a draw or two against the likes of Chelsea, Man United, they, you know, easily can build some momentum and, you know, stay in those European spots and possibly even sneak into a Champions League spot at the end of the end of the season. Because, like I was just saying, I mean, Chelsea and Southampton are the only two – well, Chelsea's the only real team that I've seen with a lot of talent. Southampton's been playing well, so obviously they're a real team. But like I said, at some point, I think the lack of real quality is going to catch up with them. And then, like I said, the rest of the league so far is, you know, pretty much everybody's scrapping to be the best of a mediocre bunch.
Mm-hmm. And the leader of that pack would have to be defending champion Manchester City, who you could argue they were lucky to get a 2-2 loss. Dude, I'm having a bad time speaking today. What the heck is wrong with me? Hold on, let me take another swig of beer. Maybe that will help.
Yeah, I'll say your lips are freezing since it's colder in Colorado than it is in Alaska.
That's right. That's true. It's snowing here in Denver, so the first snow of the year, and after being in Florida for 8 years, it's a shock to the system. So maybe that's what I could blame it on. But Manchester City...
Could you 2-2. Do it in a cool night, Stoke?
Yeah. 2-2 on the road at Loftus Road. In a game, in a match, you would expect them to, you know, just walk over QPR. But as I said, they're lucky to get the draw, you could argue.
Yeah, there were long stretches of the second half where you could argue that QPR was actually playing them off the pitch a little. And at one point, you know, a little bit better finishing. Charlie Austin's able to stay onside. You know, QPR could have been up 3-1 at one point, I think.
So as I said, this could be dangerous because, you know, Harry could use this game to the, you know, the board and his ownership group to say, look, we played the defending champions 2-2 at home. You give me another $50 million in January, I could beat them. I just need $50 million.
Yeah, because as I was talking with you and IM on Saturday, the few times I've watched QPR play, I'm fairly impressed. You know, now granted, it's a small data set, so, you know, I'm not saying, you know, England should pick him for international or that he's one of the best strikers in the league or whatever, but I've been fairly impressed with this Charlie Austin. He kind of strikes me as a one of those strikers in the Shane Long type of mold where he pretty busy, always seems to pop up in the right areas and maybe has a little bit better finishing and a little more skill than a Shane Long. So like I said, I've been fairly impressed with the handful of times I've seen this Charlie Austin guy.
Shane Long coming off a brace in the Southampton match, may I remind you.
Yeah, and I bring him up because he's been another, you know, same kind of thing that when I watch him, I'm usually fairly impressed with him, mm-hmm. even though he doesn't have a great goal scoring record.
So obviously Liverpool dropped points because they played Chelsea. Other teams dropping points included Hull, I guess you could say. I mean, they lost to Burnley. How about Burnley getting on their first three?
Burnley quarter? Getting off the schneid.
Yeah. West Ham, Aston Villa was 0-0. Then on Sunday, you got Everton dropping points against Sunderland, which has got to be disappointing to them. Tottenham capitulated again in a home loss to Stoke. And then Arsenal on the road in Wales at Swansea, dropped a 2-1, and what was a pretty entertaining match.
It was. It's just, man, we're really coming into our own with this screen door defense where we just or the open door defense. We just let everybody in now. Okay, that was your chance to respond with some Spurs response.
I was thinking of something, but I mean, if Arsenal's defense is a screen door, I don't know what would ours be. There is no the only thing more open than the Spurs back line at this point in time is the U.S.-Mexico border.
Hey yo.
Yeah, see, that's about the only thing that is in comparison.
Yeah. Well, I'll go,
Shambolic.
Yeah, we're screen door versus a hurricane, our defense is these days.
I mean, Christ, we gave up a goal to, I liked it, people on Twitter said, we gave up a goal to a guy, the only reason he's famous is because he's Messi's cousin. An old Bojan, or however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah, Bojan Krkic.
Yeah.
The Spanish Slav.
Yep. So that's awesome.
Well, the same thing with the Arsenal Swansea match, the Swansea substitutes Boney and brings in Bafétimbi Gomi. Who you know from me, I in one of my football manager games that I had him and managed him, and soon as he came on, I'm like, yeah, a guy that I managed digitally playing against my team, this fucker's going to score the winner. Sure enough, one of his first touches was a well-directed header into the corner. Like, yep, there you go. Fucking Bafétimbi Gomi.
All right, so I actually want to just talk briefly here, and I'll just get your thoughts. Let's not go into too big of a detail here.
All right.
I mean, Manchester City, I mean, they're still on 21 points. But, you know, they've kind of been inconsistent in the league and especially in the Champions League. And so a lot of people
definitely are not impressed with them when I've seen them.
Yeah, and people are kind of surprised why they don't look as good as they did last year. But I think people are forgetting that, you know, when you win the title, it's hard to be motivated that following year to play at the same level that you did the year before because, you know, you're fat and happy after a summer of, you know. Well, I mean, a lot of those players played in the World Cup, but, you know, your focus is not where it needs to be because in your mind, you've already achieved your goal, you know?
Well, yeah, because even if you play at the same level, most people still raise their game because you are the champs. So that's kind of what some people may overlook sometimes. It's not so much about playing at the same levels that even though you're the champion, you still need to get better because now that you are the champion, everybody's going to raise their game even if you stay at the same level. So when your play does drop below, you know, what would be considered the same level, then obviously you're going to struggle a little. But yeah, I thought it was a strange move for them when they let Negredo go on loan back to Spain. I thought, because I think that's been part of their issues is that, you know, they've been kind of forced to have Sergio Aguero basically take on the goal scoring burden by himself, because Enjeko has kind of fallen off a little so far this year, and then he came on for as a sub on Saturday, and then basically immediately pulled his thigh muscle or something and had to be substituted off after about 90 seconds. And their purchase of Steven Jovetic a couple years ago, you know, he's kind of been hit and miss. So, like I said, I was definitely surprised when they let Negredo go back on loan. And then, obviously, you know, Yaya Toure, even though he's played fairly well in midfield, you know, both his goals and his assists are down this year so far. So, like I said, it's basically been Aguero kind of carrying them, so.
No, you make some astute points. Aguero's got 12 goals in 9 starts and 2 sub appearances. So that's pretty good return. And, I mean, obviously he's world class. He's one of the best strikers in the world.
Yeah. Did you see the first goal where he took the ball?
Oh, yeah.
He took a 40-yard pass out of the sky on his toe in the pouring rain, and it fell dead at his feet. It's like, it's a little thing. It's not so much goal scoring sometimes. It's like it's touches like that that it's like that. See, that's a world class touch.
Mm-hmm. He is, and you make a good point. So now Dzeko, actually, he's out with what Manchester City is calling a serious calf injury.
Okay, so it was a calf. Yeah, I said thigh, but
Yeah, I knew calf, it was thigh.
It's
leg. All part of the leg.
Well, it's like the hockey injury. You know, he's got a beneath the head injury.
Yeah.
the really vague. Something hurt.
But you're right. Dzeko, although talented, you know, he's streaky. And so if Aguero's not firing, and he seems to score his goals in bunches, you know, 2 or 3 at a time, then they don't have anybody to turn to. And Negredo had a pretty darn good opening season last year for the amount of playing time he got. So that is a very astute point.
Yeah, that was like I said, that was definitely a strange move why they let him go on loan.
Well, probably because he knew he probably demanded, I don't want to be third in the pecking order, which you could imagine a guy of his stature, you know, wouldn't want to be third in the pecking order somewhere, especially coming off, you know, he comes to England, he's won his title. What else does he, you know, I mean, I don't know.
You know, that's true. But yeah, I don't know. It just seems like that's the kind of situation. If you have like a ruthless manager like a Ferguson or a Mourinho type, he would have seemed like Pellegrini would have ended up talking him into staying, regardless of what the player wants,
or chain him to the radiator and say,
"Yeah, or, you know, you're gonna stay here, or we're, you know, I don't know, something dangerous but non-offensive. We're gonna hold all your children and make them watch really bad movies. I got nothing."
Okay. All right. So with this discussion with the drop points in Manchester City, now a lot of I've heard this talk a lot, but what you see it when you see weekends like this, to where some teams drop points, but you know, really it wasn't all that bad. In terms of, you know, you just had City drop points, I guess, are the big clubs. Arsenal, I guess those are the two. Liverpool, I guess, but I mean, they're playing Chelsea, so what can you blame there? But when these people watch these games, and I've seen, you know, I've seen fans based out of England at all ages, you know, older ones who've seen a lot of things, and the younger ones, and now journalists. And actually, I forget one journalist, and I forget who, but I do believe it was somebody who writes either for Sky Sports or it was the London Evening Standard, said that based off these the results of this weekend, he said, and what I've seen over the past few years, the guy said, I clearly believe, and it can be shown now, that the Premier League is a league in decline. So that's my question. Is the Premier League in decline, like many people may suggest?
Well, like my typical attempt at a nuanced answer, which I'm probably going to end up rambling instead, it depends on what he means by that.
Exactly. It's a loaded question, really.
Talent-wise, no. From a team standpoint, and I think most people who have listened to us before will understand the difference between being a talented team and being a good team. So yeah, talent standpoint, no. The Premier League says, from a talent and a entertainment standpoint, the Premier League is as good as it's ever been, in my opinion. But kind of like we were touching on earlier, the only real quality team that I've seen this year is Chelsea. So from a team standpoint, I do think the Premier League is in decline, and that the teams as a whole, and again, not talent-wise, but just meaning as a whole, how they play, you know, not being ruthless enough against certain clubs that are perceived to be lesser opposition, you know, the dropping points thing, you know, capitulating at home, those kind of things that didn't happen, or they didn't happen as often 20, 30 years ago or before. The teams as a whole, I think the Premier League is in decline, and I think even though I'm not a big proponent of the Champions League being a good barometer of league quality in a definitive sense, you know, in a general sense, you can kind of get an idea of which league is better at the moment, but, you know, it's not a scientific thing, I guess, is my point. But with that said, I do think the fact that teams like City, even though, again, individually they have tons of talent, as a team in the Champions League, they're struggling. You know, there's an outside chance they may not even get out of the group as the defending champions of England. You know, Arsenal's been pretty hit and miss in Europe. You know, obviously not this year, but, you know, even the Invincibles struggle in Europe at times. So like I said, to me, the only to make a short answer long, yes, it is in decline, but only as a team quality standpoint, but not from a talent standpoint or from an entertainment standpoint.
Okay, and I understand that viewpoint, but you could make the argument, and I don't know if I mean, I do believe in this first statement, is that with the influx of money, especially this new TV money, a lot of these lower clubs, and clubs are getting smarter, or a lot of these lower clubs have money to spend, and they're getting smarter at spending that money. And I guess the two biggest ones would be you have two clubs who have built their clubs the right way to be sustainable, and that'd be Southampton and Swansea, who have, you know, come up from the lower divisions and have established themselves as, you know, mid to upper table Premier League sides. And so I guess my argument would be, well, maybe the Premier League isn't really in decline, but maybe it's just improving to the point to where you're kind of reaching outside of maybe the top one or two or three clubs. You're reaching kind of an NFL-like parity to where everybody is so good, it just matters, you know, who's motivated, what's the matchups, who's injured, where's the game being played at, to where the talent is as good as ever. It's just that you're not seeing a top-level team just because week in and week out, it's incredibly difficult to win in the Premier League, to whereas, you know, in Germany or Spain, you truly do get some weeks off. That's one argument you could make.
Yeah, no, and I guess that I would agree that the median has certainly gotten better. The top level, I think, has declined. And again, we're basing this discussion off a journalist's statement or article. So from a journalistic standpoint, those guys, whether they admit it or not, it's all about, you know, this kind of star power and these epic clubs and this, you know, this kind of sometimes out in the open, sometimes, you know, subtle idea that, you know, well, Arsenal should be beating Swansea every day of the week because Swansea was in Division 2 10 years ago when, in theory, that has nothing to do with Saturday, you know, with what happened on Saturday. You know, it's two Premier League sides with, you know, that are fairly talented going against each other. But in soccer, a lot of times there's this legacy type of thing that's, you know, because Arsenal has, you know, never been relegated since coming up to the top division, you know, 100 years ago, there's this mindset that, well, Arsenal should beat a club like Chelsea or Swansea no matter what, when the reality is, like you just said, Swansea comes up, they've done a pretty good job of consolidating a club, being a pretty consistent Premier League club, and then, like I said, the median of the Premier League has gone up, while, you know, perhaps the top has declined, which, again, from TV pundits and a journalistic standpoint, is going to look like an overall decline. When, like we were just saying, from an entertainment standpoint, it's, you know, the Premier League is as good as it's ever been, if not the best it's ever been, in my opinion.
Yes. Now, okay, I'm going to take a, not really a cheap shot, but I'm going to challenge you.
Sure.
Now, you did say that Arsenal, it is true, Arsenal is, I think, the only club not to be relegated from the first division. Right? You just stated that fact?
What,
is that the fact?
Yes.
So they've never been relegated from the first division.
Correct.
Which includes the Premier League, obviously, the old first division. Okay. Well, also, would it not be true that they're the only side who never properly gained promotion into the first division? Can we get that historical fact squared away?
Oh, if you want to bring that up, okay, sure, Middlesex Rovers, is that you want to bring up that bullshit about, oh, they weren't even a London club when Spurs was...
No, I'm not talking about the London club, I'm talking about how did they gain admission into the first division? Was it earned? Just answer the question, yes or no.
Yes, but...
What do you mean, yes?
Yes, no. It wasn't earned, or no, it wasn't earned.
Okay,
but,
there we go. That's all. That's my only point.
But the only point that you're also leaving out, you're going back to the time when clubs were elected to the first division. But like a Spurs fan, you want to leave out the part of the argument that's inconvenient for you, like the argument about North London when Spurs wasn't London until 61.
I don't make that point, but I just wanted to get that clear that. Arsenal never really gained promotion into the first division. They were elected when they finished, I forget the facts, but they finished like mid-table And because of some political stuff, and they were trying to merge with Fulham to gain admittance to the first division, they got promoted up, and they've been there ever since. So obviously that takes a lot, but I just wanted to get that fact out there to people.
Yeah, no, and like I said, that fact might make sense to a Spurs fan, but the fact of the matter, when clubs were elected to the Premier League, a lot of times it did have to do with stadium stuff, like all the MLS bots bitch about now, and not actual performance. But again, unlike most MLS bots want to admit about promotion relegation, sometimes it isn't merit-based. Sometimes it is administrative, which again, at being a Spurs fan, you're going to leave that part of the argument out. So, whatever.
No, that's fine, but I just wanted to make the point.
Yeah, that's all. I'm expanding on the point because I like history, and let's bring all the facts in.
There we go. All right. Still, didn't gain promotion. Anyway, not by merit. All right.
Well, yeah, that's like saying the president didn't gain the position by winning the election, which is a stupid argument. So,
well, you have to get elected. What do you mean? That's a non sequitur. Anyway.
No, it isn't. When you get elected, when you get your promotion spot by being elected by the league, then, well, you gained it by election. But, you know, you didn't gain it the way you liked it, so being a Spurs fan, you got to piss on it. So,
well, no, you shouldn't gain promotion through – you should gain promotion through points, should you not?
Well, unless you just didn't hear what I just said.
No, I heard what you
said. That came at a time when there were several teams that gained their promotion through election. And, again, it's not the first time – administrative promotion or relegation would happen, but again, let's gloss over the facts.
All right, there we go. We'll move on from this little spat.
Well, yeah, because there's plenty of lower league sides that deny their own promotion because they can't meet the financial obligations of the upper league, so a quote-unquote side that didn't earn it gets to go up before them, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I understand that, but that wasn't the case. So, anyway, whatever.
No, actually, it was, so.
No, that's not true, but anyway.
Yeah, you just don't like the way we gain promotion.
Exactly. Well, that is my roundabout point, yes.
Yeah, you don't like rules. You know, it's fine.
I don't like rules. What have I accepted a job to work in the MLS front office? Come on.
I don't know. Apparently, you didn't like a legitimate promotion because it wasn't done the way you wanted. So.
Okay. So there we go. The Prem, is it in decline? That was the discussion there.
Yeah, but Chad's debating skills are.
Well, that's probably true. Because I'm to the point where I don't really care what other people think. I just say, yeah, say what you want to say, and I'm not going to change your mind, you're not going to change my mind, so why even bother? And maybe that's the philosophy I should have stuck to in these last couple minutes.
Yep.
Yep. All right, we could agree on that. Yep. All right, the breaking news tonight. Let's talk about this. Now, this is – no, I tweeted this. I don't know if it was on the TDY account or my personal account. This was rumored a couple weeks ago, but David Moyes has accepted the position and has been appointed to the Real Sociedad. Reaction, sir?
Well, like I was telling you off air, Real Sociedad's got not a long history, but they've had history before with being pretty open to British managers. You know, John Toshack, managed there. And, of course, now I just went blank. Who was the other guy we talked about?
The only one I know for sure is Chris Coleman.
Oh, yeah, Chris Coleman.
And there's one more, I do believe, but I can't remember.
But yeah, Toshack and Coleman were the ones I was thinking of, both being Welsh. And Toshack actually managed multiple clubs in Spain. But yeah, so anyway, original point being that so it's interesting because, like I said, Sociedad's, you know, had a history before of, you know, modicum of success with British managers. Moyes is, you know, while he got bashed pretty heavily and we mocked him pretty good while he was at Man U, I do think he's a good manager. I just think he got in a little bit over his head at Man U. You know, Man U was probably a little bit too big of a club for Moyes. So with that said, a club like Sociedad that's traditionally a, you know, a mid-table side in Spain, I actually think it's – I won't say that it's going to be successful, but it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that he finds some success there. And like I was telling you off air as well, even if he is fairly successful, Spain's the kind of place where, you know, managers aren't really going to stick with a club more than 2, 3, 4 years at a time anyway. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does because, like I said, I do think mid-table type of club, you know, he does have a good chance of finding some bit of success.
Yeah, I guess my biggest question is, I guess tactically and stylistically, does what he offers to the club match with what the challenges are of La Liga?
Yes and no, because, I mean, he is, you know, a fairly pragmatic defensive manager. So when you got players that are going to be naturally or, you know, more naturally technically proficient in, you know, a place like La Liga, sometimes when you do bring in a defensive manager, it just kind of rounds out the skill set rather than conflicts with it, if that makes sense.
Okay, no, I could see that viewpoint. Mm-hmm, that makes sense to me.
And like I said, and I guess that's what I was alluding to with being at a club like Sociedad is that, you know, players at a club like that are going to be more, you know, apt to listen to technical differences, you know, than if he were to go into a place like Sevilla or Barcelona or, you know, Valencia or Real that, you know, have to.
Or Man U.
Yeah, well, that but exactly, clubs that have to win and win in a certain way, you know, and win by certain score lines, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on there. I do not remember. Let's see if I still have it up. I do. Here are his first 5 fixtures that are scheduled. So he could get off to a good start here. They've got this coming.
They play Eibar.
No, they don't. But they play Deportivo, and then Elche, and then he's got a cup game against
Oviedo.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't take Spanish. I took German in my studying days, so I kind of butcher some of these. And then you got Villarreal. And then Athletic Bilbao. So not too bad. You know, some winnable games he could get there. Maybe get points in 3 or 4 of them. Maybe win 2 or 3. And then who knows? You get off to a start like that. Maybe they start to buy into his system. And then the sky's the limit. And then here's my big theory. Eventually, Roberto Martinez will move to a big club in Spain. And if Moyes does well here at Sociedad, Atletico Madrid, wherever. Because he's going to go there eventually. It's in the start.
Yeah, because even if Moyes doesn't go back to... Oh. Having internet issues here. Oh, we done? You good? Having internet issues.
No, I heard you the whole time.
Okay, well, you know, that's what happened when your ISP gets elected rather than, you know, rather than gains promotion anyway.
Through points.
Yeah, should have went with the other telecom anyway. Yeah, because if Moyes doesn't end up back at Everton, I think since the EPL is like the NHL and a lot of times clubs are fairly loath to give new managers or untested managers a gig at that level, and they tend to recycle the same managers, you know, Moyes, I think, is going to end up somewhere like a Villa when and if Lampard gets canned, or, you know, possibly like Sunderland if what's his name? Poyet. You know, when Poyet gets canned or whatever. So, you know, I mean, it's he's still fairly young for a manager, or, you know, he's got plenty enough years ahead of him as a manager that, yeah, at some point, regardless of what happens at Sociedad, he's going to be back in the EPL with somebody. And, you know, maybe a promoted side. Who knows?
A promoted side who earned their promotion through points?
Or a promoted side that said, hey, here's $70 billion. We are now in the EPL.
Yeah.
New York City FC.
Yeah, that's right.
New Garber York City. FC.
Or, I don't know, maybe they'd have to move to, yeah, New York, York City. Passed out of New York.
New Yorkshire FC.
Yeah, New Yorkshire. Oh, boy. All right, so that's going to wrap up the Moyes talk there, and we'll just finish up the show here, Corey, with, unfortunately, another international break is upon us.
Yeah, why do we always got to lose going into an international break?
Yeah, it seems like that happens to Spurs, too.
Well, so I'm saying it makes...
Every time.
Because it are an interlull already feels like a month long, so when you lose, it makes it feel like it's 2 months long.
That's bad, but I won't complain because I don't know if I could take another humiliating loss to some crap club.
Well, yeah, well, you know, at least we earned our loss and it didn't get elected to us, so.
That's true. You did. You did earn that loss. boy. So we'll see. I don't know. I think it'll be good in some instances for Spurs-wise for Pochettino to maybe figure out what the heck is going on and maybe bench some of these wine babies who are crying and whining about his methods, because his methods work. They just have to be open to him, and maybe he's just in a situation to where he's at a club to where traditionally the players have a little too much power. So it'll be interesting to see what Daniel Levy does if he sticks for a manager for once in his life.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The like we said about Balotelli, past behavior is the best prediction for future behavior. So if he does, it means, or if he does stick with Pochettino, it means he'll have turned over a new leaf.
Yeah, because if he sacks him, I'll be done until they get the stadium built and hopefully sell off the club, because it's an abomination.
Well, that's what I was about to say, that if he does turn over a new leaf, it's because he's looking for a new 100-pound note. So.
Yeah, and I will add this now. I'll just get your reaction to this now. I did not obviously see this for myself, but this was widely reported by people who were at the Spurs match, including one person who is he's a fan, but you know, in England, in these, you know, backside media channels, they have fans who are actually, you know, experts, and they go on a lot of media shows and they organize a lot of things for the club. The Spurs fan, and he goes by the name of Crackers, does a lot of, you know, alumni events to where he gets former players and they go to, you know, some arena or some pub and have an event. And he's on Sky Sports during the transfer season reporting on what's going on. But he said, and many others, but he's the one, so I take his word at it, is there were Spurs fans at White Hart Lane this weekend with Levy out banners, and they were confiscated by the stewards, which is absolutely ridiculous if that is true, and I believe it to be true because it was reported by many people that the stewards were confiscating banners and signs that they did not approve of.
Yeah, no, what I know about Levy, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
So, if that shows you, if that actually did happen, that shows you how desperate he is, and how out of touch he is. So it's just very bad for me right now. So I welcome the international break, so I can not think about all this ridiculousness.
No, I just have a question about the phrase backside media channels. Now, is that, does that mean people who talk on TV out of their ass?
Well, that would be pretty much everybody.
Yeah, well, just when you said backside, that's what I was picturing.
Well, no, I meant, you know, like kind of lesser level, you know, they have a lot of, I forget, there's a show, and it, they have a lot of fans who come on talking about the shows, and I forget what channel it is on over there. They have a website and a YouTube channel, but when I was over in London for a week, I did see it on there, and it's like public access television here, I guess would be the closest thing, and, you know, they have really poorly production value shows, and they have a lot of shows where they bring in, you know, bloggers and podcasters over there and fans who are popular to talk about their clubs. And I forget the name of it. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but that's what I meant by that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just gonna after the show, I'm gonna get a laugh elected there for that joke instead of the actual real answer. Because, yeah, I wasn't looking for a real answer, so.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, I just was trying to make a joke. When you said backside, well, yeah, media backside channel, I was picturing, you know, people like Neil Ashton talking out of his ass on TV.
There we go.
There you go.
How about that?
Yeah, you know, like the Ace Ventura, hello!
Yeah, geez, oh, that is pretty bad. Wow. Oof. Ace Ventura. So, all right, so that's going to wrap up the show for this week. I would say enjoy the international break, but I'm not going to, so I don't expect you to either.
Yeah, I'm kind of burnt out on international football these days, so especially after that shit weekend I just had with all the footballs. All the football teams lose.
So, but we will be back next week.
I'm just going to drink instead.
Yeah, full of vigor and full of excitement with John Townsend will be back on. So please do tune in next week. John will be back on, and we're going to kind of let him steer the content based on what he has been writing about in his work and what he's been researching. And as you can guess, some of it might be a little controversial.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why we like John, because he's like us, not afraid to take on people. Especially when they're, you know, once again, got to use the phrase, talking out of their ass and making stuff up. So,
you, the TDY listeners, requested him to come back on, so we worked hard and we got him back on. So, thank you for your input, and we will look forward to next week. So, for Corey Chatelain, I am Chad Smith saying, I hope your club got promoted to the Premier League through proper points.
And I just wish we could buy the title.
All right. Peace out, folks.